Last week we started the five Hebrew words that'll change your life, and I didn't want to stop until we got all five out. So with that, I want to very quickly review the first ones just so you'll remember them. How many remember the first one? Mitzvah. See, there we go. What is a mitzvah? Doing the commands of God. Yeah. What'd you say? Good work or good deed. And so, and let me say this, I didn't clarify this last week, I don't think. So when we talk about the Ten Commandments or the Ten Mitzvot, the 613 Mitzvot, that's a mitzvah. Each is a mitzvah, but also there may be something specifically that he tells you to do or wants you to do that is a mitzvah. Us having a community, a congregation, really it's a mitzvah to the community and to him. Just being here and having the door for people to come and be a part of. So there's a lot of things that we do that are mitzvahs of the congregation that aren't necessarily in the 613 commands, but they're both the same. That makes sense? So again, that focus on doing the good deeds, which we talked about, and then the plural of a mitzvah is what? Mitzvot. Wonderful. And then we got to the next one. Say it again. No, try. That's what, you know what? You're not going to learn it until you say it in Gimelut Chasadim. So Gimel is the third letter. Chesed Chasadim. Grace is Chasadim. And it's a selfless act of giving that's undeserved by the recipient. We talked about how it's tempting to give for recognition. This must come from an honest place. And really, the biggest thing about it is it has to be giving that you don't, that nobody knows about. And I've got a very quick, funny story. You all laugh. I had my first essay with Rabbi Shapiro. I did it. He was in Korea, then he was in France, and he was in Africa. Now he's back. And so I guess on the flight back sometime, he started grading papers. So all of us, different ones at different levels, got our papers graded. And so I had to write an essay on Gemilut Chasadim. 3-page. What is it? What's your understanding of it? How does it work? And one of the questions was, at the very end, give us some examples from Scripture, I did, and give us some examples from your personal life. So, okay, I'm going to do it, and I did it all. And so I ended up getting an 88 on the paper. And he said, great, I can see your heart in this, blah, 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 blah. I would have got a 100. But the last thing he said, Brent, the last question was a trick question. I thought, how's it a trick question? Because Gemilut Chasadim must be totally anonymous. So for me to tell him the totally anonymous things I did no longer makes it anonymous. And he's got this big old smile on it. And I thought, what do you mean it's a trick? And I thought, oh. The tables were turned. Right, exactly. And I said, wow, you're right. He said, the key thing, it has to be done from the right place in your heart, but also it has to be done in secret. So that doesn't mean that giving to someone or something that they know you did it is wrong. No. However, Gemilut Chasadim has to do with, And it also has to do giving to somebody who doesn't deserve. And Yeshua talked about this. He said, pray for those who use you, who hate you, despitefully use you. So that's praying for them. So if you can imagine the next step of giving to them anonymously. You're giving to your neighbor who is just terrible to you, but you see that his lawnmower broke, and so you call up Home Depot and you order him a lawnmower and you have it delivered to him anonymously. And you're looking out the window at this guy, and he's got this new mower, and he doesn't even know the Lord. And it's all you want to do is say, hey, you, I bought that for you. Exactly. So that's the very opposite. So Gemilut Chasadim, it has to be, you can't say anything about it because your reward is with God. And again, and then you're not doing it for a reward. You're doing it to bring merit to the house of Israel, to put Israel in a place where they receive Messiah so that they can do what they're called to do, so all the Gentiles can come in, everyone sings Kumbaya, Messiah's on the throne, and there we go. And then we'll no longer have Shabbat here, we'll have Shabbat in Jerusalem. So that's the end goal. That makes sense? Okay, so that's number two. So number three. Say, you're good, that's good. Keep going. Orchim. Orchim. So you see that CH, it's not Ch, it's Cha. Orchim, in this case, He. Chim. Chaknasar Orchim. Chasing your guests. Providing has. What's that? Chasing your guests. Providing. Yeah, it's spelled in English, you would spell it H-A. Mm-hmm. H-A-C-H-N-A-S-A-T. Chaknasit. Then the other words, two words. The second word is O-R-C-H-I-M, or him. Yeah. It's G apostrophe M-I-L-U-T. Second word is chasadim, D-I-M. Gemilut chasadim. Okay? And I didn't teach on this, but this is part of the attributes of the letter gimel. That's why it's gimelut, what it's referring to. We'll do that when we get to gimel. We'll talk more about that. So again, this back to chaknasit orhim, you notice that orhim ends in an I-M. So what does that tell us about it? Plural. So in English, you're going to see a lot of things that are, it's hard to translate. Usually when you talk about God, you don't say racham, which is mercy. You refer to him as God of mercies, rachamim. So you'll see a lot of times in Hebrew, it's plural. In English, we have an understanding, a lot of it, ours translates into a singular thing. Just this singular little thing, you know, this little pen here, when really what's talking about Hebrew is like a whole factory full of pens. Totally different idea. Okay, so haknasat orhim, chasing your guests, providing hospitality. We talked about, you know, Peter's mother-in-law, when Yeshua comes over and he heals her. She's been sick, laying there. Then what does she do? She immediately jumps up and starts cooking and serving them. She goes right into haknasat orhim. She's taking care of her guests, and she's been sick, and she's cooking for them and everything. Or we talked about Abraham when he was on the third day of his circumcision, the sorest, most painful day, and here come the visitors, and he jumps up, it says he leaps up, and he runs out of his tent, and he goes to meet them, brings them back, and his wife, oh, and she runs, and she's cooking, and Sarah's got just plates flying with food, and the guests are feeling very well treated. So that's the idea, just crazy hospitality to the nth degree. You know, it's Thanksgiving, and you've been invited to go to someone's house, and you go there with the turkey and the mashed potatoes and the green beans, and you got it all. And you back up your truck, and you bring it all in, and they're like, oh my gosh, we never would have expected that. So that idea, chasing your guests, providing hospitality. And we talked about, yes. I said it backwards. But the idea of just doing something over the top, let me rephrase all of that. You do all of this stuff at home when someone thinks they're coming over for a simple slice of turkey and some cold mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving, and you've got this whole elaborate thing, and you're welcome, you're doing all, and they can see you just gone, all out just to bless them. You know how that feels when someone does something like that for you, or when you look in someone's face and you're doing it for them, and you just, so that's the idea. We talked about the Eshel principle. Eshel is in Hebrew, translating to tamarisk tree, and the Eshel was Aleph Shin Lamed. The Aleph stands for Achila, feeding them physically. The Shin stands for Diya, signifying the water that he used to wash their feet. And then we talked about the Lamed Levaoi. He escorted them in, escorted them out. And I don't have the board here anymore. I had it on there. Okay, so that, and after the class, if you want to ask a couple questions, I can go through a few things. So that brings us to number four. Number four is the word arevut. A-R-E-V-U-T. A-R-E-V-U-T. Arevut. And when you see this U-T, that's going to make it plural too. It's the same spelling as O-T, just pronounced differently. All right, so what is arevut? Have you ever got upset about someone saying one thing and doing another? Yeah. Have you ever got upset at yourself for saying one thing and doing another? So this usually leads to accusations or feeling of the H word. What's the H word? No, hypocrisy. I give you guys a chance to think about something. Hypocrisy. And, you know, it's a lot easier to point it out in someone else and not recognize it in ourselves, you know. So the concept of arevut, arev means a guarantor. A guarantor, someone who guarantees a guarantee. Say you go and you take out a car loan, and you don't have the credit, so you get what we would refer to as a co-signer. But that person is a guarantor, so where if you don't pay it, they're responsible for paying it. So it has the idea of someone is responsible for you, or you are responsible for someone else. So in Hebrew, this term arevut means that in Judaism is a corporate faith, and everyone's responsible for everyone else. So we see it in the term, am I my brother's keeper? And the idea is yes. So, and it's more than just, you know, you see me on the side of the road with a flat tire on Shabbat, and you pass by and you don't stop and help me because it's Shabbat and you don't want to break the Shabbat by helping me. That's not arevut. That's the exact opposite. It's you come and find me and help me, and I can depend on you that, okay, I got a flat. Someone knows I'm here. They're going to come help me. And they don't think it, they're just going to do it. They don't think, oh, I can't believe I've got to go help. No. Oh, my gosh, they're there. I need to go help them. Let's go. And everyone shows up. That's more the idea. I'm in trouble. Someone's there to help me. You're in trouble. We're all there to help you. We're all there to always help one another is the idea. Arevut, or a guarantor. And it also has the idea of to take responsibility. So you can be a guarantor, but if you don't take responsibility to actually act on what you're called to do, it doesn't matter. You know, a parent is a guarantor for a minor child, but if you have a parent who, you know, is like a 12-year-old and doesn't take the responsibility, then it doesn't even matter at that point because everyone suffers because the responsibility of being an arevut hasn't been taken. That makes sense? So this is an extremely important understanding in Judaism, and this idea, let me start right here. This is connected to, it's connected in Judaism, the idea of saying one thing and doing another, or the understanding in, there's an understanding or belief, I should say, in Christianity that Yeshua, that he came to start a new religion. You get this idea of understanding and that people are to convert into this new religion called Christianity. When in fact, we know that all the disciples and Yeshua they were Jewish. They didn't convert to anything. They just received their Messiah. And so those are two different understandings and ideas in the culture we live in today. And so we recognize that, you know, they were Jewish. They weren't told to convert to anything. And even as today, Gentiles, we're not told to convert to anything either. Go ahead. Yeah. Who's that? Right. Right, yeah, they exactly. They didn't give up anything. They weren't called to give up anything. They were just called to receive their Messiah. That's it. He told Messiah, said he was coming to them. He came, he did it. Some received him wonderful, some didn't. So Gentiles weren't called to, prior to Messiah, Gentiles who wanted to have a relationship with Messiah or with the God of Israel had to, in effect, convert to Judaism, or they could be you could have a Gentile, a righteous Gentile. That's a whole other topic. After Messiah, not a whole lot changed, but some things did change. In particular, there wasn't this idea of Gentiles converting to anything. They were just receiving Messiah. They weren't converting into Judaism to receive Messiah. They were just receiving the Messiah of Israel and then becoming one in the house of Israel. The Jews weren't called to convert. They weren't called to go into a church and take off their kippah and tallit and eat pork. That's not. But that's actually what Christians put on them to do. And that's why we see so many Christians or so many Christians today with Jewish names who at some point their family just renounced their Judaism. So a whole mixed up thing. But the whole idea is Yeshua didn't come to start anything new. He came just as the Messiah. And so this idea that we have today, this false idea of Paul or James or anybody, Yeshua, proclaiming to be Christian, no, they weren't. That's not their word. That would make them a hypocrite. They didn't convert to anything. They stayed Jewish. And again, there were Gentiles at that time who had converted to Judaism already or were in the process. And you'll hear terms like a Gentile convert to Judaism who accepted Messiah. I mean, it was really a crazy time with all these different things going on. So the word Aravut, it applies to Israel, but it also applies to everyone else in Messiah. Should you take it on? Should you decide to say, I am my brother's keeper? Amen? So being part of the one in the house of Israel, you take on these understandings that exist within Judaism. That makes sense? Okay, so let me keep on going here. So I've got a note here. It wasn't Yeshua's desire to start a new religion. If it was, the apostles didn't get the memo. They were firmly planted in Second Temple Judaism. And this, you know, what I'm teaching you from is from Pastor Matt. You know, he did this whole long course, about 30 plus hours of kosher pastor. And so, you know, he talks about Jesus a lot in here and that kind of thing. He has on here, Christians know the end of the book, but it's also they should know the beginning and the end of the book, not just one or the other. So remember the hem of Yeshua's garment, the tzitzit or the fringes. You know, we see this coming up in the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, but it's from Numbers chapter 15. And how did they determine this? Well, because the rabbis of the Talmud, they were given the instruction of, in Numbers 15, to on your garments have four sides and then put a, but it didn't say how exactly to do it, so they were given the authority to determine how to do it with many things. That's just one little example of that. So again, this term, Aravut, a guarantor, we need to be a guarantor for one another. And again, Judaism is the redemption in Judaism, it's corporate, it's not an individual thing. This is even harder for an American, what we've been taught and lived out. So in the Targum, which is one of the tractates of the Talmud, Sanhedrin, tractate 27b, it's interesting. There is a saying, and it says, all Israel is a guarantor for each other or accountable to each other. Amen? So I want to read this to you here. In the Targum, which, let me just read a definition for you. The Targumim, or singular Targum, these books were originally spoken translations of the Jewish scriptures, also called the Tanakh or the Old Testament, that a miturgamon, a professional interpreter, would give in the common language of listeners when that was not Hebrew. This had become necessary near the end of the first century BC as the common language was Aramaic and Hebrew was used for little more than schooling and worship in the synagogue. The Maturgamon frequently explained his translation with paraphrases, explanations, and examples so that it became kind of a sermon. Okay. In Jewish and Christian traditions, here's an example of this. How many have ever heard of Jannes and Jambres? You've heard those names, Jannes and Jambres. I'm sure you've heard in the Word of Faith is all over the place. It's used way out of context, but where do those names come from? Have you ever heard those names? No? Okay, they're very common in... Where do those names come from? See, it's made it into Christian tradition all over, but those names aren't in the Bible. So whenever you hear a Christian pastor get up and bring up Jannes and Jambres, they're speaking of the Talmud, and they don't realize it. There was a big thing in my family, little thing, and it came up, and I said, I don't have time or the energy to try and explain this. I just left it alone. So they're teaching about the Talmud and who they were. They were names given to the magicians, and Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded them. Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before... Yeah. Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh. You remember the story? The magicians, they did the... Jannes and Jambres. Not in the Bible. Christian people talk about it all the time. It's from the Talmud. Just to give you an idea, people, oh, the Talmud, they have no idea what it is, but they have something negative to say, and they have nothing. It's just the writings of what happened and what the rabbis had to say about different things. All of that being said, Jewish traditions and the Targums preserve a whole lot that you see come up in the church, and they have no idea what the origin of it is. Give me 1 second here. I want to... Okay. All right. So one thing I want to say, as guarantors for one another, we're not islands. We're not individual. So you can't be an island and be a guarantor. And you won't have someone be a guarantor for you if you're an island. You know, we see scripture, you reap what you sow. This idea of community that we always talk about, breaking bread together, very Jewish thing that we do. That's all part of this. Any questions or comments? So a question I have for you to chew on is, what will you do to be a guarantor for someone else around you? See, so these are the decisions that we get to make and have to make. That takes us to lesson number 5 and the last Hebrew word that'll change your life. And the word is tzaddik. And we talk about this all the time. Do you have it up there too? No, you don't. Okay, never mind. I saw everyone looking at the screen here. And that's spelled T-Z-A-D-D-I-K or I-Q, just depending on how you want to spell it. Tsa, like the Z's in pizza. Tsa. Tzaddik, eek. So that's how that's pronounced. So what is a tzaddik? A righteous person, a righteous person, a tzaddik. There is a term in Hebrew, cleaving to a tzaddik, that I'll teach on at some point, but... You know, when we say today, oh, you know, hear Christians especially say, oh, I pray in the name of Jesus. Well, what are they saying? What does that mean? What is the origin of that? Do you believe that all of a sudden Yeshua comes on the scene and all of a sudden that was a brand new term that nobody ever heard of? We're just going to say it. Oh, look, a new term has been coined or a new idea or understanding has been. Do you think that's the case? Or do you think it's something that's been happening in Judaism forever that, yeah, go ahead. Okay, that's real good. Real good question. I didn't plan on getting that, but since you asked, okay. He said, "What else? Whose other name were they praying?" Okay, so there's a couple of things here. We'll break down two of the parts of this. Praying in Yeshua's name or asking in Yeshua's name. So the idea when we're praying in Yeshua's name, we're asking because of the merit of Yeshua, because of what he did. And you could say, in the merit of Yeshua, we ask this. Okay? But we pray in Yeshua's name because he was the Tzaddik of Tzaddiks. He was the righteous of righteous. That makes sense? Prior to Yeshua, and it's still done today by Jews who don't know Messiah, you what's called clinging to a tzaddik. So prior to Yeshua, you would, if there was a righteous person, you could pray in their merit for something. And you would pray in the merit of like the highest tzaddik you know. So Yeshua comes around, he dies, he is the tzaddik of tzaddiks. So people would pray in the merit of Yeshua. So I'm saying that existed long before Yeshua came along. Does that make sense? Asking someone who's dead to pray to God for you, that's not what this is. But if you said, what's the best way to say this? Because this is where it gets into Christianity. Christians get kind of weird about it because they don't know. They have no idea where it came from, and they automatically are programmed to go to some negative extreme of, oh my gosh, that's evil, or that's, no. If you went somewhere today, good example, you go somewhere and you see you're in trouble maybe, and you go and you need help, and you go and you see one of your dad's friends that your dad knew, and you say, hey, I'm coming to you in the name of my dad, can you help me? Well, they would say, oh yeah, I know your dad, I know he's a good man, he's done these good things, of course I'll help you. So that's kind of how praying in the name of someone or asking, requesting in the name of someone based on their merit works. Now, we're not saying, go and pray, God, can I have salvation and redemption based on the merit of my father? No. We would say based on the merit in the name of Yeshua. However, prior to that, there was no high, you would pray in the merit of the highest tzaddik that you knew. Go ahead. Well, to a degree. Remember we talked about why was it the children of Israel are allowed to go into Israel? You're on the same tree, but you're branching off. So because remember we talked about the death of a tzaddik atones? And the children of Israel, why were they able to get into the land? Because Moses died. So when he died, the merit of Moses, God let them go into the land. Moses died. So you see Yeshua, the death of these ultimate tzaddik, what did it do? It allowed everybody, it paid for everybody and anybody who wanted to come in. Is that saying that Yeshua's only man is? No, it's not saying that at all. This is Judaism, and he fulfilled. Remember, Yeshua is the Redeemer of who? The Redeemer of who? Israel. How? What is redemption? What is atonement? What are these things? People get redemption, atonement, salvation, all this stuff just clustered into one little cake, and they can't separate it. Well, that's another thing, the sacrifice. But the death of a tzaddik brings atonement, so that's the principle, the idea. So that's why we pray in the name of Yeshua. We're basically praying by the merit of Yeshua, which is the same as saying today what's common in the name of, but that's the idea. It's not the exact words, but the understanding and the idea of it. That makes sense? That answer your question? So, yeah. Yeah, they would pray in the merit of a tzaddik. Yeah, they would go and pray in the merit of Moses. In the merit of Moses, will you grant this request? And they weren't putting Moses at a place of being God or being divine like Messiah. Absolutely not. That's not the idea. That's what I'm saying, how Christianity would teach that that's some kind of strange, weird stuff. No, that was going on for thousands of years. Yeshua, they all were there. James, he said the effectual fervent prayers of a tzaddik availeth much. Why? So if James is saying that a tzaddik can pray and get prayers answered based on him being a tzaddik, it has some type of, I don't want to say sway, but it has some type of effect in his prayers getting answered, then the other side is true. The effectual fervent prayers of someone who's a pagan, they're not going anywhere. Yeah. Right. I got you. So then a tzaddik would be, after Messiah, would still be, he would be praying in Messiah's name, the highest tzaddik. That being said, are there people who don't know Messiah who pray in the name of a tzaddik and God still answers that? Yeah. Judaism is a, Christianity would look at it and say, well, wait a minute. You can't pray in the merit of anybody else for anything. Well, we understand that. We understand Yeshua. People who don't, they're still in that system of that's what they do. Whether or not how God sees it as far as for answering things, I don't know. I'm just telling you what is still practiced. So we pray that they will come to know Messiah. That's the whole bottom line of it. But the reason I brought it all up is because it's not, people didn't just start saying, oh, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus when he came. That had been practiced. That makes sense? And I know to a Christian mindset, it seems kind of, what are you talking about? But this existed prior to Yeshua. This is Jewish understanding. This is why, this is the whole reason why they prayed in the name of Jesus in the beginning. Or they wouldn't know how. What does that mean to pray in the name of Jesus? To pray in the name of Yeshua. Yeah. Catholic. You're talking about Catholic churches predominantly. That's exactly why. But they don't even pray in the name of the saint. They pray to the saint to petition God on their behalf. So see, that's a whole nother thing. Whole nother, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Sure. So basic, yeah. Absolutely. No, in the merit of my grandmother, which she prayed. And see, you're not praying a salvational prayer that you're asking for salvation based on the merit of anybody else but Yeshua. That's totally different. So don't get that mixed up. That's a totally different thing. But if I said, you know, Lord, I'm praying in the merit of my son. Look, he's done this and done that. He's been good, Lord. Can you please, you know, help him with such and such. Not that he deserves it, but at the same time, what we do actually matters too. So, okay, yeah, what were you going to say? Oh, Kaddish? Kaddish? No, you're just, so Kaddish is different. You're praying that by their life and their death, that, you know, that Adonai will be magnified. And that their name will continue to be a blessing and bring merit to the house of Israel, how they live. It's that kind of way. But you're not using it to pray to ask for anything. So let me give you the other side of this so you guys will just see. So you see a lot of rabbis today who don't know Messiah, the, you know, Hasidic rabbis and different ones, they'll, you know, someone needs, wants to have a baby, they'll tell them, okay, well, you know, I can't get pregnant, then go pray at this one's grave. So the idea is that the death of a tzaddik, cleaving, there's a whole understanding of cleaving to a tzaddik. Do you remember when they were fighting the war and someone, they were trying, there were people were dying and they were burying people and they buried the man on the bones of one of the patriarchs and he came back to life. So am I saying go and pray at someone's bones? I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that's the understanding and the connection of that. You remember when Moses was leaving, they're leaving Egypt, and they made the promise to Joseph not to leave him. He said, don't leave me in Egypt. And what did they do? They went back and they took his bones and they brought him. So people will get buried next to a tzaddik is something that's done in Judaism all the time. To be close to, I mean, it'd be like if we don't, you know, obviously Yeshua's not in a grave, but say that there was a place, a point of connection to Yeshua where we could be buried at our last, you know, then would you want to go do that? That's kind of the idea. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Okay.
You are worthy. You are buried there with them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not like I couldn't get buried there.
Somebody could, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, it's along the same line.
It's the same kind of idea, yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's
yeah. It's, yeah. You get the, yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah, yeah. The military ones. Yeah. Yeah, the veteran cemeteries, yeah. Right, it would be, yeah, yeah. And even in Israel, there's a, we don't have a pic. When we showed the, during Mashiach, we showed the Eastern Gate, and just below that is the big cemetery where, I mean, it's cost a lot of money. And you, not everyone get buried there because they want to be buried. There's some patriarchs buried in there, and they want to be closer to where Messiah, when he goes in through the, so the same kind of idea. What are you gonna say, Judy? Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. See the cemetery right here. All this right here, and this part of it is Muslim right here. They built that right in front. All this down here is Jewish, and it goes all the way down to that valley and comes up the other side some. Absolutely. I'm trying to see if it's on this picture here. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, Rosemary, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is the major one, that area on the western or the eastern. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right, it's not, yeah. Yeah. It may, yeah. He wouldn't have been in now because he wasn't Jewish. He would have been in the one with the, right. Yeah. 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 Oh, there. Yeah. 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 And you all prayed. Yeah. And so there's, and I don't want to get too deep into a lot of, it's trying to give you the basics of some of this because you can get off in a lot of stuff, or it can be. But that's the idea of the cleaving to a tzaddik. Even when the disciples went to Yeshua, he was their rabbi, and they were cleaving to him as their rabbi, as their great teacher. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Praying in his name, praying in the great tzaddik. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. Because of him. In his name, right, in his, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's why we can pray in his name for that. Let me, anybody else, questions, thoughts? All right, I'm going to try and, did you, was your hand going up? Or, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. See the idea. Yeah. 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 And oh, exactly. And it's a totally different level of things. So that's why, and the reason what I wanted to say was that I'm not saying that praying in somebody else's name or something telling you to do, or they did that and they received the same thing as praying in Messiah's name. Absolutely not. I'm just telling you that it wasn't something new they were doing. And in that scripture, it may or may not say, oh, I know. I know. That's why I'm trying to. But even with that, Andy checks who says in Hebrew, it may say in his name, it may say in his merit. I have to look it up in the Hebrew Bible. But it's a, they're interchangeable. It's the same idea. Yeah, go ahead, Case. No, but I'm saying, though, so the, yeah, it's not something we teach to do. So I'm bringing it up with the idea, the understanding that it wasn't new when he did it, the idea. He was the Tzaddik. People use this, they say what says, don't call someone a rabbi or a teacher. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking to them. Don't call them that. Because later on we see in the Corinthians or Acts where it's, it gives all the titles. Well, if there's no titles, because he's all, is he the pastor of pastors? This is the English. Is he the prophet of prophets? Is he the teacher of teachers? Well, of course. So we see that there's more to what they were saying, and they just got it. That's like a buzzword people say. They don't know what they're talking about, but they say that. They grab one little thing, and they just, and they don't know nothing else about it, and they just go with that. So same kind of idea. Okay, so let me keep on going, because I want to finish here, because we're running behind. So today you may call someone, you may hear this term, you may hear someone say, you know, they're a prayer warrior, you hear that kind of thing. Or you might say this person, you know, they're a saint. You get this kind of idea of someone who may be described as a tzaddik. They live lives of holiness. So we talked about James, Yaakov, or Jacob. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we remember Elijah and other heroes of the Bible were human beings, but they were considered tzaddiks. And we get the term Sadducee, Sadduceeim, same kind of thing. I've gone way over both times today, guys, but I want to get this done here. So we also know a righteous person. We know many of them. We can tell they're righteous in God's eyes by him adding letters to their name. Remember, he added his, gave his name to Abraham, Avram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. He gave her the hay in his name. We see the same thing with Jonathan. There comes a time in Scripture where his name goes from Jonathan or Yonatan to Yehonatan. His name is given a hay when he gets to a point where he's seen as righteous and a tzaddik. I don't have time to get into that. So what does it mean to us today? How can we be considered a tzaddik? See? And people would say, well, no, you need to do that because you have Jesus. So we're back to that again. But that's not the idea. So Jesus didn't come so we can be a schmuck. He came so we can become, we'll be a mensch, right? We go the other direction. And so just because someone is called a tzaddik doesn't mean that they're elevating themselves to the point of Messiah. No. Not, absolutely not. He's the tzaddik of tzaddiks. Amen? God added a Hebrew letter, hey, to several names in the Bible. And this I want to get to too. The church has preached against performing acts of righteousness in the world due to fear of works-based salvation. So they don't do anything. You just sit around, don't do nothing, but, you know, Jesus did it all. I don't have anything. Jesus, and this, they'll sing the song, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Well, if you owe him something, then shouldn't you be doing something to try and pay him back? Why can't, oh, my righteousness is filthy rags. That's not what it says. It says your righteousness, notice it's saying you have righteousness. It's like filthy rags compared to his. Not that it's just totally, and Hebrew says, it says a dirty diaper. is what the saying is in there. It's not saying it's saying comparatively. I mean, think about that. Think about raising your child and say you can just do whatever you want to do. You don't even have to try to do anything pleasing to your parents or to God. I mean, you'd be, that's crazy. But this is what's taught to a lot of people. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, you have that there? You want to read it for me? And it's on that page, I believe. Yeah, opened up. Yep.
He delivered us. It was not on the ground of any righteous deeds we had done, but on the ground of his own mercy.
Yeah.
He did it by means of the mikvah of rebirth and the renewal brought about by the Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah. So again, you see this idea of he did it, but that doesn't mean that we're called to be the scum of the earth. No, we're not. Come here, my child, you little scum. No. My child, you're beloved. I want you to come up. So the last few things here, the church teaches making converts of people rather than making disciples, making Talmidim. So we've talked about that a lot of times. Being a tzaddik means a constant refinement in every area of your life. What's that? I'm not right. Absolutely. So this idea of being a tzaddik, to just believe as opposed to acting on what you believe, two different things. It's not all about what we believe, it's what we do. We even call one of the names we give to the Father is Adonai Tzidkenu. You see that T-Z-I-D-K, tzaddik, see that in there? And remember I said if it ends in E-N-U or E-I-N-U, it's saying our. So Adonai, the Lord, my righteousness, Adonai Tzidkenu. During Havdalah, we have a time of separation, separating the holy from the common, or making something in the effect is a tzaddik compared to something that is common or normal. Romans 12 talks about this. People don't realize it's talking about it. It says, do not be conformed to this world. It's referring to, no, basically become a tzaddik. Don't become like the world, but go the opposite way. The way of the world is going that way. If you want to be a tzaddik, you need to go the other way. Holy, set apart for God's purpose. We see the word faith in scriptures that's been translated, and really what it should be is faithfulness. Because faith is a belief. Faithfulness is actually doing something. So the same idea that in the translations has been totally gone. We talked about Christianity as a one-time event of getting saved. We talked about Jewish Judaism, Messianic Judaism as a journey. A convert is someone who is a one-time thing, whereas a Talmid is a lifetime idea. Being a tzaddik means constant change and tweaking of our lives, no areas off limits. And how can our faith be all about what we believe and not be connected to what we do and how we do it? I mean, this sounds like, yeah, but until you do it, it's different. You know, we talked about you guys bring the food, you saw your neighbor, and this is kind of public, so I'm not destroying their agnasit chassidim. You know, they noticed their neighbor outside, an old man, he comes out and he's, takes him forever to mow his lawn, and they befriended him, that kind of thing. And so they bring him food on Shabbat, and maybe other times they bring food on Shabbat. You know, they could just look out the window and just see him there and see him just struggling and not do it, close the curtain and go right back to their lazy boy recliners and sit back and go right back to what they're doing, or you can actually do something. So until you actually do something, it doesn't matter for you how much you believe. They really don't care how much of a good, oh, nice, wonderful, believing lady who leaves me out here starving and thirsty and about to pass out mowing my lawn when they can help. So this is the thing we have to do. Amen? So we're all should be on a journey or consider ourselves on a journey to become a tzaddik. And again, see, only the merit of Adonai Tzidkenu, Adonai righteousness, can we expect anything salvation-wise from. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Right. Your good deeds. Yeah. 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 I will. Go ahead. I'm going to repeat it. Go ahead. There, and I'm going to repeat it. Yeah. Yeah. So we can do the good works. Is dead. Yeah. They leave it out. Yeah. So we do it. Is dead. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's it. And it's why it's what empowers us to do what we do. Because we're going to do what we do. Why? Exactly. We're going to do what we do so that we're proving we have faith. Yeah. And I'm going to let her repeat that, but go ahead, Case. Yeah. Beyond. Yeah. No, it's supposed to be in our individual lives. So what are your thoughts, back row? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Some of it, yeah, yeah. 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 Uh-huh. And they don't, yeah. We've got neighbors like that too. Yeah. Let me say this real quick. Oh, go ahead, Casey. Go ahead. He tries and tries and, right, exactly. So you're not so good, Joanne. Yeah, no, right, right. Yeah. Yeah. You have any thoughts you want to share? Yeah. 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 Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. No. Right. As a result of, yeah. 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 Right. Oh, it is. It is. Yep. Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. He created in the first place. Exactly. Yeah. What's the whole, right, it's not some individual thing, it's all connected to everything. And if you don't see everything, you'll come up with some, I don't know how they would explain that kind of thing away, but they do for different reasons. So to answer Joanne's question back there too, this is all this, everything you guys are saying is real good, and it's all connected. Real quick, you've heard the story, 30 years ago, there was a guy in a church we were going to, and I could just tell he didn't like me. And I really didn't like him either. I just, honest to God truth, sometimes personalities don't click or whatever it is. And I thought, man, I don't like that kind of, static and just stuff with people for no reason. What's the, So there is a term, and I can't remember the Hebrew term right now, but it is, I'll think of it in a minute. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? Because I see this guy a couple days a week. And he's in some groups I'm in. And this is after we were married. And you'll remember this part of it. And so it was like, Lord, tell me, whenever you go to service, go find him and talk to him. And so the first time I did, I went, hey, brother, how you doing? And he kind of looked at me like. And I said, hey, man, bless you. You have a great day. And I just turned around and went. And I didn't care for his wife either. I'm just telling the honest to God truth. And I did that for weeks. To where before service, he would see me coming up. And finally something broke where I no longer had a natural disdain for him. And it broke in him too. And we never became buddies or anything. But when I saw him and he walked by me, I didn't have this negative. I just said, you know what? He's one of God's creation too. I don't know what it is, and I'm not everybody's cup of tea either. So, but the idea of Shaney brings it up a lot. Not unmerited grace, but just, I can't think of the term. It's just overwhelming, just unconditional love and there's a term and I can't think of. It's just a big supernatural, you don't deserve this. You have to be humble to do it. But it's this idea of you don't do, it's un, what is the term? I can't think of it. Yeah, but it's bigger than that. It's more than that. I'll think of it tonight at midnight. I'll call you guys all. It is unprovoked. Baseless. Why was the temple destroyed? Baseless hatred. What's going to bring Messiah back and the Jews to a place where they can receive Messiah and the temple's rebuilt? Baseless love. You didn't do anything. Not only do you not deserve it, or you do deserve it, it's just baseless. It's based on nothing. I'm just going to love you. That's it. Baseless. Just because Adonai said to love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And so to answer your question, you're going to have to just take a little step. And that's why it's a journey. We keep talking that nothing's going to just happen. It's not going to be some one-time deal and all this. No, it's going to be a journey. You're going to have to keep on taking steps. The question is, are you willing to take those steps, sister? Or do we need to find you another job? I said, or do we need to find you another job? No, but you know what? All the problem you had with your other coworker, now you got someone else. As soon as this is gone, trust me, there's somebody else in line you can have a problem with. And it may be a bigger problem. So don't get too, right, it will, usually it is. So don't get too happy when all of a sudden that gets resolved. I'm just saying. Okay. So the last thing I want to talk about is really, really, really quick is this idea of it's the last thing, part six, and it's only one little tiny little page. I'm going to make it like 2 minutes. Fish, catch, and clean. What does that even mean? Anybody have a thought of what that means? Keep on going. That's real good. I didn't have nonsense in here, but I could just as easily change that. But it's this idea of you have to catch the fish, then you clean it, and there's an order. Well, why is that? Why even bring this up? And the idea is this. You don't have to clean yourself up to come to God. That's His job. And our job isn't to clean people up. Our job is to catch them. Catch them, bring them in. We can help clean them, help present them to God so He can clean them up. But we have to fish. You have any chance of catching them? Then when we get them here, we have to help them become clean. Catch the fish. Fish, yeah. Put the effort out. Then once we catch them, bring them in, let God clean them. We can't clean up ourselves. We can't clean them up. We are obedient out of love, not obligation. In the book of Exodus, God redeems Israel, which is equivalent to salvation. Then after that, He gave them rules. He gave them things to help clean them up and keep them clean. We are created in Yeshua to do good works. But we're created for good works to do, you know. Yes.
That refers back to your previous message today where you quoted Ephesians 2:10, we are created for a life of good actions.
Yes.
That were created and prepared for you already before.
Exactly. And it's prepared for you right now. So if you have, what do you want me to do? He'll tell you. He'll tell us as a community. He'll tell you as individuals within the community. If we'll ask and listen. So I'm almost done here. God redeemed Israel. He gave them rules to live by. We live in obedience out of love, not obligation. We can't earn God's love. Remember the proper order. Fish, catch, clean. And I'll leave you one scripture, 2 Timothy 3:17. You can read at your leisure. And where God guides, He provides. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we thank You and praise You for this time of learning together. We thank You for these five Hebrew words, and we ask You to help them change our lives, Lord. These words are going to go up on our board in the back once we get that all accomplished, Lord, that we can do these things and walk out these things together on our road to Jerusalem, O God, our road to the Holy Land, our road to Mount Moriah, the mountain of Messiah, where we can go gather our friends and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the God of the house of Jacob, so we can sit and have yeshiva, so we can sit and He'll teach us His ways. We thank You and praise You as we conclude our service and have a time of oneg. We ask You to help us, O God, to continue to love one another as ourselves and to continue to move forward in You. In Yeshua's name, O God, amen and amen.